everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, August 28th, 2026. Hope everybody had a great week. Bill Buckmaster here along with my buddy Brendan Kraft. What a fine young man on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. He does a great job. How was your week, Brendan? Everything going well?
I was going good, you know. A lot of sad, celebrity passings.
Oh, but other than that, it was the Dolly. Good. The Dolly passing.
Dolly Parton, yeah. Tim Curry,
yes.
And Peter Cullen, who was the voice of Optimus Prime.
Wow. Mm. As noted, that is sad. We welcome you to the show. We're broadcasting from Central Tucson in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. It's part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, where we have five radio stations operating at this location. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This is our weekly edition of the Buckmaster Show, where we continue our tradition that began over 15 and a half years ago with our daily radio show after 22 years with me hosting the nightly news program on Channel 6, Arizona Illustrated. So we're here noon to 1 each Friday, and we have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts going back more than 15 years here on the Buckmaster Show. They're all nicely archived, easy to use, on our newly redesigned website at buckmastershow.com. And I'm especially proud of my now travel blog that I have there. We've got at least, I think, 5 or 6 of my trips are up there with some great pictures, so check that out. When we do our telephone interviews and phone calls, are always welcome. Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Sean and the team, they do a great job. They sponsor our live line. Our media partners, couple of them anyway, TucsonSentinel.com and the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And not a formal partner, but we've had a great relationship going back almost 40 years in this town with the Arizona Daily Star. The relationship continues. Tim Steller is here.
Hey,
the
Bill.
senior columnist. Is it senior? No.
Metropolitan
columnist, yeah, for the Arizona Daily Star, and Tim is really highly recognized in his field. A couple of times he's been named the top newspaper columnist in Arizona, and his most recent honor is the prestigious Don Bowles Award for Investigative Reporting, presented by the Arizona Press Club. Didn't we have an unfortunate anniversary of the Bowles' death recently?
Yes. Was it 50 years? I think it was 50 years.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
It's hard for me to believe because at the time I was working at the Associated Press in Phoenix, their offices there at the Arizona Republic.
Mm-hmm.
On one or two occasions, Mr. Bowles and I had dinner.
Oh.
Because our office at AP was there in the Republic building, and that would have been when I was with AP, 1973. Yeah, so that'd be about right. All right, we have two newsmaker interviews today. We're going to begin with our friend Mike Ortega. It's great to see Mike again. Mike, the executive director of the Regional Transportation Authority. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have Daniel Gutierrez with us, Republican candidate for Congress. I've known Mike for many years. Of course, Mike was the former city manager at City of Tucson, and then most recently he has been shepherding what's been going on with RTA, and judging by the results. First of all, great to see you, Mike.
Nice to see you, Bill.
Judging Thanks. By the results of the election, which was held several months ago, folks here in town and in Pima County said, you know, we need to keep a regional road system going here for another 20 years, $2.67 billion price tag. How, first of all, why don't I ask you, why don't I? And Tim is probably curious to hear about it too. Folks were very surprised that the RTA next passed, not only passed, but passed by a relatively wide margin, Mike.
Well, I think it really speaks to the importance that the community has and focuses on with regard to infrastructure. And I think roads is a fundamental component of that. It's all aspects of our lives are related to roads. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you own a vehicle or not, you use that infrastructure. And I think that it was a pretty loud and clear mandate from the voter that says, get on it and get these roads addressed as they're outlined in the plan.
And Tim, were you surprised it was over 60%?
Was it 60%? Yeah, I remember it was a full throttle victory. And yeah, for sure I was. I mean, I wrote a column not long before explaining why I was undecided and that it was, you know, I gave reasons for and against voting for it. And yeah, I mean, you know, there was a loud campaign. Sorry, loud is probably a pejorative word. There was a well-funded campaign supporting it. There was a relatively loud but not very well-funded campaign against it, and I think that campaign turned out to be the counter campaign turned out to be not nearly as strong as we thought.
Has the work started on any new projects, Mike Ortega?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, August 14th, we had our kickoff for the RTA 2, we'll call it RTA 2 program. It was our first project to go to construction, so that's just a few months after the election, was the Irvington Road repaving. And so that kickoff for the RTA 2 program was also the groundbreaking for that much-needed improvement there on the east side. So hit the ground running, organizing ourselves around what that delivery looks like, the magnitude of which is pretty staggering, Bill. I mean, there's a lot of work to do across the entirety of the region.
What does the portfolio include, and how many projects total?
So we have 31 road projects. So the, as you mentioned at the beginning, we've got $2.6 billion of sales tax money. But then you couple that with another $1.2 billion in, we'll call it leveraged money. And all of a sudden, you're up around $4 billion to accomplish within the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that includes roadway components, that includes safety, ADA, active transportation, which is bike, ped, those kinds of improvements. Also includes transit. That was a big component. Environmental, so that we have the whole transportation spectrum covered within the RTA program.
Including, as they often refer to it, Tim, pavement preservation. In other words, fix up the potholes.
Well, I think the pavement preservation component is really an interesting story I don't mind sharing with you. That was not in the original RTA, nor was it in the plan initially when the board decided to go out for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
And the public comment was so strong.
Now, I'm not surprised.
The board said, hold on, what can we do? So the board really looked at the statutes and said, hey, we can put dollars towards funding road rehabilitation. And so that's what they did. And so that first Irvington Road project is in fact in that category.
Tim Stellar.
Yeah. So there are a lot of plans in the first, I think you divided into four periods. Is that right? So four periods of 5 years. If I'm not mistaken, it's kind of front loaded. Is that not the case that there's a lot in the beginning and not so much at the end that you've stuck in there?
So, you know, Tim, I would say to you that the front loading is not necessarily just the plan. I think it's the completion of RTA 1. So remember that we had several projects that are either under construction, that are in planning phases, various planning phases, that still need to be constructed. And so it looks like it's front loaded. It really isn't. If you look at it from a cash flow standpoint, it's pretty even with the new money. But when you couple that with the completion of RTA 1, absolutely, we've got a lot of work coming in the first 5 years.
That includes Grant Road, right?
That's correct, which I'm happy to tell you. I've been told as early as or as late as just this morning that it should be completed by the end of the year. It's on schedule as originally outlined, and so you'll see a lot of big paving going on here.
Meaning, when you say completed, you're talking about the phases 3 and 4.
That's correct.
Yeah,
what's under construction today.
Right, correct. So there's still two phases to go on Grant.
5, 6. That's
five
correct.
And six,
that's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, actually, in my news the other day, I read about, I did the Grant Road project, they said around September 11th or the 12th, they're doing like some of the final paving of that stuff.
What?
There's probably more to do after the paving though, right, Mike?
Absolutely. So that it won't be open for traffic like full bore right after that. But what it does is that's a big milestone. And then so then you got to do striping and you start to do the landscaping and you start to do some of the other pieces, installing the light poles, those kinds of things. It's all of the other stuff, if you will, that goes along with the paving.
Just to clarify one thing, RTA projects are not formally carried out by RTA itself, right? Aren't they carried out by the local governments?
That's correct. And that is going to be a shift in RTA too. So the current configuration is the RTA is the bank. So we basically are the financiers of those projects. So the Grant Road project is a City of Tucson project. And you know that they are the ones that are responsible for doing all aspects of project delivery. In the future, the board is given authorization for the RTA to help with that delivery. So it's not like taking it over. It's really to facilitate and help the partners, the jurisdictions, accomplish the goal of getting those projects delivered.
So in other, what does that entail when you say help? What kind of help might they need?
Well, it's going to depend on what their capacity is. It's going to depend on what they're able to do internally. And that'll vary from the City of Tucson, which has a lot of internal capacity, to, say, the Tohono O'odham Nation. It doesn't have necessarily the capacity. So we have the authority to come in and help with preliminary design or preliminary planning, design, right-of-way acquisition, utility coordination, construction, and construction management. That is something the RTA can do. What we can't do is condemnation of property. We can acquire property. We just can't go through the condemnation effort.
Meaning eminent domain. Meaning,
that's correct.
Yeah,
we don't have that authority.
Great. Okay.
All right. Mike Ortega is with us here. Segment one coming to a close. How fast things move on a Friday here from noon to one on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, more with Mike Ortega and Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. But first, I want to talk about one of my favorite restaurants in town, certainly right up there of my favorite Mexican restaurants, El Cisne, which is the Swan in English, located appropriately enough at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. El Cisne offers a multicultural fine dining experience, many regions of Mexico represented on their great menu. El Cisne is open every day for lunch and dinner, dine in or take out. El Cisne also specializes, they do a lot of catering, large or small events. We've used them for a small event. They were terrific, friendly staff, sets up, or you can pick up the food yourself and then set it up yourself, or they'll come out and do the whole thing for you. El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Travel is my lifelong passion, visiting more than 100 countries, all 50 states, and flying on nearly 75 different airlines. I'm ready to talk travel anytime, anywhere. That's why I'm excited about our new monthly Travel Talk podcast, hosted by Bon Voyage Travel President Brian Hansen. Check out the latest travel trends on Travel Talk at bvtravel.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The voter-approved Regional Transportation Authority Plan is investing in infrastructure improvements throughout our region, including better roads, expanded transit services, and bicycle and pedestrian enhancements across the region. Over the next 20 years, these investments will help our communities move more safely and efficiently. Stay informed and track project progress at rtamobility.com. That's rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Digging back into the oldies. A little bit of Tom Jones here on the Buckmaster Show. It's not unusual. It is usual for us to be here Friday, noon to 1 on the Buckmaster Show. We've got two newsmaker interviews. First half of the show, Mike Ortega. Then we'll talk politics with Daniel Gutierrez in the second half of the show. Mike Ortega here along with Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star. Mr. Ortega, you were the city manager in the city of Tucson when the planning really began for the 4th Avenue, 4th and 5th Avenue project that keeps going on, right? Yeah, never seems to end.
Yeah, I think you mean 5th Street.
5th Street, yeah. Excuse me.
5th yeah, and 6th Street.
I knew what you meant.
5th and 6th Street, yes. Yeah. And when that started, I guess there were some surprises that turned up relatively early on, right?
Well, I think this is indicative of a lot of projects. When you're in the urban core, you've got very dated infrastructure, and so you uncover it, right? You go through and you're trying to do the right thing, pave the street, and then you find a water line, and then you find another water line, and you find the water main. Mm. And so, you know, to the credit of our partners at the City of Tucson and Tucson Water, they took it as an opportunity. Unfortunately, what that means is significant delay to the paving aspect. But it's all part of it. You tear it up once, you may as well fix it all while you're going through that that effort.
That is not an RTA project.
No.
That's the City of Tucson.
That's what I understand.
What are you hearing about the end date on that?
I couldn't comment. I don't know. I've got enough RTA projects.
Okay. Tim Steller.
Yeah. I know that. I believe it's sometime in 27 now. Mm. I've seen some progress on 5th and 6th. They just closed the Alvernon intersection to pave that. So it's gradually, very gradually moving east. Mm-hmm. So
it does seem like there's work all over town, right?
Yeah. And is that not a problem for RTA and the various jurisdictions, but especially the City of Tucson because it's more concentrated in the city? Is it not a problem to have a lot of different projects going at the same time?
Well, you know, a problem. I don't know exactly.
Ultimately, going to have good benefits, but yeah, it's
absolutely a challenge. And the reality is that our infrastructure is in such poor shape in a variety of areas, close together, oftentimes, that it requires movement while we're getting on it. But I will tell you that we are sensitive to that, and we're working with our partners at the city and at the county and other jurisdictions. So, for example, the closure of Grant Road over by the freeway. Now, that was a project that really we sat around and said, okay, we've got to do this project, very restricted space. And if we leave it open, it could be upwards of a year, if not longer, in order to have that construction occur. So we got with the partners and said, okay, what happens if we close the road? Very disruptive, but for a much shorter time. And Tim, I got to tell you, that was a huge success for us because we demonstrated how we blew it out, had a great contractor that was partnering with us, and again, managed by the city. We were just kind of on the outside looking in, but encouraging alternative ways of thinking, alternative ways of working, up to and including working at night, working off schedules. You know, those are the kinds of things that we're exploring across the board to make sure we can get this program delivered.
So in other words, that has some replicability. That is, it's a demonstration that you could, especially in high traffic areas, just shut it down for a shorter time and then be done quicker.
I think it does, Tim. I think the difficulty is it's not the same everywhere. Obviously, the impact has to be thoroughly discussed, talked about, and everybody needs to recognize that, hey, we do have some challenges if we do that. So then it's a conversation around, would you like to have the inconvenience for a year, year and a half, or would you like to have a closure for 4 months or 6 months where we can blow through it and get it done? So those are conversations that are ongoing, and I think you're going to see them in other places as well.
So getting back to, we mentioned that part of this plan is pavement preservation. Is that in the first 5 years, or is that going to be an ongoing through the four segments of the 5 year segments?
So, Bill, yes to both. So, okay. It is in the first 5 years. A heavy amount of that is expended by, or will be expended by, the city of Tucson. I know that we've gotten a request for in the vicinity of about $28 million a year. Just for the city's repaving or pavement rehabilitation. And I want to make a point about mm-hmm. the pavement rehabilitation. This isn't just out there patching some potholes. This is actually tearing up the pavement and redesigning it so that it has a minimum of a 10-year life. And we've also challenged them to think about how we could make it a full 20-year life, just like a brand new road. Mm-hmm. So we are really focused on not only that investment, but also that long-term sustainability of those projects.
Has the technology gotten to the point where some of this repaving will last, even in our difficult, harsh conditions in the desert?
Well, I'd like to hope so. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that we'll know 10 years from now, but I can tell you that we are holding hard to the 10-year life, which means that they have to design, they go out there and do pavement borings or base borings, so they know what kind of material they're building the road on, because oftentimes the potholes come from the base and from mm-hmm. you know, some of the challenges that causes over time.
Tim, one of the knocks on the RTA was there wasn't enough transit in the program, as you recall, right?
Yeah, for sure. That was one of the criticisms that people had. Yep.
And what do you, and Mike, go ahead, Tim.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at what was passed. Correct me if I'm wrong. The subtotal for transit is $726 million over 20 years. Does that make sense?
That's correct.
Yeah. So expanded weekday, evening, and weekend bus service, $227 million, plus some committed non-RTA dollars and a variety of other things. So, I mean, what kind of differences can we expect to see in our transit system as a result of this $726 million or so over 20 years?
Well, since you're looking at the plan, Tim, you'll look at, or you can see there is a transit safety or transit system safety component. It's about $51 million. And I think that's the one piece that you'll see immediately. And I know the city of Tucson has been working on their safety plan. They've actually presented that a couple of times. I believe they're close to adoption of that if they haven't already, which really brings forth the opportunity to say, okay, here's some investment that can come directly from the RTA and from those dollars. That is something that was not included in the previous dollars or in the previous plan. The other thing, you mentioned the non-RTA money. Those leveraged dollars actually will equate to about $1 billion total. You know, so it's just shy of $1 billion. I think it's $958 million over the course of that program. So when you look at that, and then you recognize also the need across the entirety of the region, not just for fixed route, but also our Dial-A-Ride and paratransit, realize the importance of that service.
It's interesting. I look at this list. There's the general expansion of transit services region-wide, in parentheses, special South Tucson allocation, $25 million. What's that about? $25 million for South Tucson transit?
Well, right at the very end of the plan, there was a recognition that South Tucson had not been allocated dollars towards their transit function. And even though the city of Tucson provides virtually all of the transit for them, or most of it, I should say, there was a need for them to have some allocation for transit for their services specifically. So that does also include some of the paratransit and Dial-A-Ride for their community members.
All right, Mike, before we wrap it up with you, so it's full speed ahead. This is very apropos to bring you in now because, as you signaled earlier, a couple of weeks ago, but 10 days ago, pretty much was the kind of the official start, right, of the program.
That's correct. August 14th.
Yeah.
Big groundbreaking and kickoff.
And go ahead, Tim.
No, it's just, I mean, every bit of progress as fast as it can happen is going to be helpful to everybody in Tucson. It's just great to see some things being fixed. We have our office by Bonita. This isn't a South Tucson. I believe it's a city program. Man, Bonita's been bad, and that's a relatively important little road on the west side there. And they tore it up and fixed it very quickly over the last week.
Well, the road certainly will be seeing a lot of improvements because the city has pledged over a 10-year period to hit pretty much every piece of pavement within the city limits.
I'll even help you with that because I remember that pretty clearly.
Sure.
Bill, you and I talked about that many times.
Mm-hmm.
Their Prop 411 actually pledged to touch all of the residential roads in the 10-year period, and my understanding is that they're ahead of that schedule. So, hats off to them.
All right, Mike Ortega. Go ahead, Tim.
No, it's good. Go for it.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike Ortega. Great to see you again, Mike. More information on your website. Your fine website, RTA?
RTAmobility.com.
There you go.
Tim was on it a minute ago, so
yep. All right.
I know it's working.
It is.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
Hope you
have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Midway point of our Friday edition on this last Friday in August. Be right back with Daniel Gutierrez Sr. on The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
For more than 30 years, the nonprofit Save the Scenic Santa Ritas has protected Tucson's water and rare Sky Island ecology from large-scale industrial mining in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. The Santa Rita Mountains include sacred Native American sites, a crucial Sonoran Desert watershed and habitat for endangered species including jaguars and ocelots. Learn more at scenicsantaritas.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona.
A little bit of Tom Jones Day here, bump music Jones. On the Buckmaster Show. Brendan Kraft playing the music here for what we call in the business our bump music. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday. My co-media host today is Tim Steller, the highly honored award-winning Arizona Daily Star columnist. We are here each Friday, noon to 1 on the Buckmaster Show, continuing with our tradition that started over 15 and a half years ago with our daily radio show. And joining us now is Republican Daniel Gutierrez Sr., who is running for a third time to represent Congressional District 7. This race is a rematch between Mr. Gutierrez and U.S. Representative Adelita Grijalva, who defeated Mr. Gutierrez with 69% of the vote in a special election last year to replace Adelita's father, Raul Grijalva, who died at the start of his 12th term last year. And Mr. Gutierrez ran for Congress against Raul Grijalva back in 2024, garnering 37% of the vote. Daniel Gutierrez, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good. And thank you for having me here.
Well, you know, when you were on the show running the last time, you had said, I'm only going to run twice, and you're running again. What changed?
I actually wasn't going to run.
Yeah.
And I'd already had all my signatures. Mm-hmm. I got them before the special election, which I had to go out and re-get signatures mm-hmm. at that point. But it was after the special election. I took my wife out, who was very depressed. We went over to the Del Sol, mm-hmm. took her out, got a room for the night. We went over there, and we're walking across the casino, and a couple come over and said, oh, my God, Mr. Gutierrez, it's an honor to meet you. And we're talking. I said, we can't wait to vote for you. And I said, you mm-hmm. do realize there was an election last night.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and I kept meeting so many people that didn't even know there was a special election, and I didn't really have the money to. I did run a lot of advertising. I spent a lot of money on advertising. I didn't realize that that most people are online. Nobody watches TV anymore, so mm-hmm. I spend all my money on TV and radio. Wow. Uh-huh.
So, in other words, you were going to run twice only, but kind of maybe you're dismissing the special election as a kind of not. It doesn't count.
Right. So.
Okay. So now this next one is. Truly, if you don't win it, it's going to be the last one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim. Well, you were facing off against Adelita Grijalva in a televised debate. What was it, last night? No, two nights.
Wednesday night. Yep.
Where did you think the big disagreement came between the two of you? Was it immigration? And if so, what was the point there that where you two really disagree?
I think our biggest disagreement was the education. Okay. Hmm. I don't think we disagreed on immigration, really. The thing is, I came in with a plan to fix it, and I questioned her why she wasn't over with the other members of Congress passing the Dignity Act, which does everything that she's trying to do. And like I said, not all Republicans are going to like it, not all Democrats are going to like it, but it's called negotiation. If somebody walks away not feeling hurt, it was a bad negotiation. So,
mm-hmm. so yeah. You support that? She doesn't. I
don't think she knew about it.
Okay, that's interesting. Last time I talked to you and quoted you, I was writing about ICE and the idea of abolishing ICE, and you told me that the people protesting ICE are protesting the wrong people. They should be protesting the lawmakers, the people who write the laws. I take your point there that they could pass bills such as perhaps this Dignity Act. On the other hand, every effort down through the years up to 2020 has been stifled almost every time by the Republican side, especially the kind of more nativist elements of the Republican Party. How would you go about getting them to go along with a bill that, you know, has some legalization measures and that sort of thing when they've been staunchly against it all these years and stopping efforts at bipartisan immigration reform?
Well, right now they got 20 Republicans and 20 Democrats on it. And I think at the one thing this thing brought was attention to it. And I've had a lot of Republicans reaching out that actually liked that bill. So I brought a lot of attention to it. And my opinion is, and like I said at the debate, is it's both sides. Politicians, period, don't want to sit down and fix this. And that's where I get really frustrated, because I just want to go in and fix some stuff. And like I said at the closing of my debate, and if there's other things you want done that I'm not willing to do, then fire me and hire somebody else, but let me go in and fix the things I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am, because I'm not running to be a politician.
And you've said you really, did you ever, we were talking just briefly before this today's interview, and you really never set out to be a politician.
No. Nope.
I mean, how did you, was there someone that talked to you about maybe you should run for office?
I was actually asked back in 2021 to run for mayor.
For mayor of the city of Tucson.
And because, you know, I was born and raised here in my family. I got a lot of family here. And I said, I don't want to be a politician. I don't want to be a mayor. I'm a contractor. I'm content. I make a good living. I can take off and go to New York for a week and be fine and, you know, let my company itself run. But I started really looking at everything that was happening, and I started considering it. And then I realized that if I won as mayor, I would be a lame duck mayor because I'd have absolutely no power. I couldn't change anything. And that's when I decided to run for Congress, because I knew from there I would have more impact to do something. And so I ran for it.
You have said about yourself, you don't seem to be a Trump, a massive Trump supporter. Let's say I assume you voted for him. Don't you support President Trump? Well, and in what do you support?
The biggest issue I have with Trump, and I know he rushed in to do it, but he's done a lot of things where he's rushed in, okay? The biggest one that I have an issue with Trump was the homeless crisis. And because when he came out to give everybody checks, okay, I saw what this was going to lead to. I knew it when it happened. I had employees quit working for me to go home and sit and collect these big checks they were getting. And they put they couldn't kick you out if you didn't pay your rent. I saw that becoming a problem, and I was working in apartments then.
Oh, are you talking about back in the earlier Trump administration?
When he did that, that was
the pandemic relief.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's what led me to run ultimately, was because I saw the crisis that it created. I knew that when all these people quit, and I was doing apartment turns with my companies, three or four apartment complexes we were doing, and I saw
remodeling apartments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were in a lot of apartments because painting's an essential business. So during when everyone else locked up, I was doing a lot of work and a lot of business, and I seen what was going on in these apartment complexes. And you could literally watch the drug dealers pull up to the apartments and go into the, you know, and sell their stuff. It was crazy. And I just saw that they were spending all this money on that, and that when it would come time to pay the rent, I knew there was going to be this massive homeless crisis. And that's exactly what happened. And that's when I decided, you know what, we got to fix this.
So what do you think this year, or this term, I should say, President Trump has put a lot of emphasis on the drug crisis. His main actions have been trying to stop supply, things like bombing the boats in the Pacific, you know, doing different things with Mexico, leveraging our power to get them to send drug traffickers over here. I haven't seen as much in terms of stopping, you know, helping people get out of drug addiction, that sort of thing. Am I missing something? And what do you think about his overall approach now in this term to solving the fentanyl slash drug slash homelessness crisis?
I thought he was ready to start out and do this really hard. He said he was going to put all this money into it. And as a matter of fact, during the special election, I had mentioned that Trump was going to put all this money into it. I haven't seen all this money getting put into it. I thought that's what was going to happen. And then I watched what's going on with all this money getting thrown into it, and I see nothing really working with it. And then just about 2 weeks ago, I get messaged from someone that said, hey, you know, I went through a program that's just like what you're trying to do, my program, and it's called DTAP. It's Drug Treatment Alternative to Prison.
Yes.
So I started reading up on that, and I was like, what the heck? And it's very successful, but they haven't expanded it, and I don't know why, because it's very similar to what my plan is, except my plan goes to another level, that we help them get in a position where they have the money to go get their apartment, and then they sell the apartment back to the city, because I want them to buy the apartment because they'll appreciate it more, for like $10,000, something, you know, just a small amount, they buy it. And then when they decide to go get a house or to move up, because once you start growing, you keep it moving ahead. That's what happened with me anyways, and my son who just bought a house. But they could take that, sell it back, as long as they've taken care of it, and get the $10,000, which would give them a down payment for their own home. But my program is to help them, give them back their self-esteem so that they can get their lives back.
How has this affected your business, all this, your campaigning? Has your business been put on hold?
Yeah, it's been tough. My company has suffered behind it because my son came in to run it, and my son's been learning. Well, my son's now in a position where, my son's now in a position where he's got it down, and he's just doing great, and I've given him a lot more control. Like today, he just went and got new tires on a vehicle. Generally, he'll call me up and ask me, and I balance, but he just went and did it. He called me up and told me he saved $20, and it was done in 19 minutes, and I said, cool, son. So
we're speaking with Daniel Gutierrez. Mr. Gutierrez is the Republican candidate for Congress in CD7. Did the Trump administration, have they endorsed you? Did you reach out for an endorsement from them?
I haven't reached out to anyone for an endorsement. I haven't endorsed anybody. The only endorsement I have, in which I didn't ask for this either, was AZ Cops. Because I don't think endorsements matter one way or the other.
So AZ Cops being a statewide police union, led right now by Sergeant Aaron Cross, who is with the Pima County Sheriff's Department and leads their union as well.
So you didn't reach out to President Trump and say, hey, would you endorse me?
No, as a matter of fact, I never have reached out to President Trump to endorse me. And in 24, I took my wife to go meet President Trump. She wanted to meet him, and and she was standing there with her hat to get it signed. And she didn't say anything. And I said, he was walking past her. I said, Mr. Trump. And he stopped and he said, yeah. And he go, hey. And so I told him who I was. And then I gave him one of my cards. And then he goes, well, you know what? You have my endorsement. And I thought, oh, my God. I was trying to get her hat signed on my car.
And the reason you think that way is because it's politically not necessarily very helpful in this district.
Not at all.
Yeah,
not
because it's a heavily Democratic district.
You said that you differed with one of the major points was in the debate was education. What were the differences?
Well, she's a very strong advocate of the public education.
Public education.
And I'm a very strong advocate for charter schools and private schools. So there's a big difference there. There's a lot of things that Ms. Grijalva and I share in common that we want done. We have different ways of wanting to do them. So, and we've always been very cordial with each other.
Go ahead, Tim Stellar.
There's a whole other thing. I was reading about you on your page. Of course, I've read and written about you before. There's a central part of your story, which is that back in the 90s, you were arrested, convicted, sent to prison. I don't remember the specific crimes, but you mentioned on here having marijuana. And that's just kind of a central part of your story, right? And what did that do for you? How did that change you?
Well, it took me down a path that I'd never dreamed I would be in. I mean, I never, ever thought for a second I'd find myself in prison. My mother was a school teacher. My father was a miner. I had a really good upbringing, which has educated me towards other directions. But I wound up protecting my cousin, who the police were after in the first place. It was one joint. They wanted me to testify that my cousin had given me the joint because he was on probation. And back then it was a, You know, you did that on probation, you could get 25 to life. They were very serious. So they wanted him for that. I told him no. Next thing I know, I'm in a full-blown trial for an offer to sell over 8 pounds, which I never did. And they used this one joint as a as an example. And one of the officers came in and testified and lied. The other officer came in and said, you know what, he seemed like a nice kid. I don't believe for a second he was going to commit any of these.
So you went to prison for one joint?
Oh, yeah.
And so how many years were you in?
I did a total of 9.5 years.
Wow. In what facility?
Kaibab, Douglas, the Tucson complex. So, and then I... I can't remember the name of it, up by Phoenix.
So it's, you say in, on your webpage, for a man who had grown up living a simple life, the experience was deeply traumatic. Tell us about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I came out of prison, well, first off, I went to a place where I didn't fit in at all. I mean, I was a man raised by a school teacher and a minor.
Suddenly you're...
And all of a sudden, I'm in this place. A couple different times, I had cellies that were murderers. You know, they had me in maximum security for 3 years. So I was in... you know, and so I went through all that. Then I came out. My children were gone. The mother of my children gone. Everything I owned was gone. I didn't know anything out here. And that was after 4.5 years. So when you're away that long, things change. I mean, it's not the same. So I came out and I started running with the people I'd met in prison. And I wound up going in a different direction and became someone like, I became them. And then I got violated and got put back in prison. And that's when my life changed and I went back. And this is important because most of these people in prison, they have to actually hit a bottom and you have to rebuild and structure their lives because... Unlike me, I could be really rehabilitated because I could be turned back to what I was.
Yes.
Most of these men that are in there were never, they never had
a... They never had that foundation like you had.
You say in here that you were exonerated. What do you mean by exonerated?
Well, I was more than exonerated. The Judge Bergen determined that that conviction never existed in the first place.
Okay.
Because I was never, they wound up finding me not guilty of the crime that I was tried on.
Yes.
After the jury convicted, I went in and said, Your Honor, under the law, they had to have 8 pounds. The judge said, you're right, found me not guilty. And then he sentenced me to probation for an offer to sell under a pound, which I was never charged with, and no one accused me of. So that was a violation of due process and double jeopardy, which rendered the judgment by the judge as void. So there was never a conviction in the first place.
Fascinating story.
Yes.
Tim, I've only got about a few seconds left.
Go ahead. So how, I mean, it's almost too much to ask, but it sounds like that's what's kind of put you in the place you are now, that's made you the person advocating for homeless solutions and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Daniel, any final thoughts as we close out here?
You know, just hope everyone will follow me, look at what I'm doing for the community, and you'll see that I truly care about our community.
Okay. Tim?
No, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. And, yeah, thank you.
Tim, what do you have coming up in your column?
There's a lot going on
Sunday.
On the economic front in Tucson, a lot of efforts to spur economic growth, and I'm writing about the extent to which they're trying to kind of narrow... The way they're trying to narrow things to more kind of palatable industries in Tucson, politically palatable, could I say politically correct? Maybe so. I'm still working it. So that'll be in Sunday Star.
Kind of the data centers, no.
Yeah, right, right. It all kind of starts with the rejection of the data centers, and then we're building out of that.
All right. That's Tim Stellar. We'll look for his work at the Arizona Daily Star. And again, thank you to Daniel Gutierrez, senior congressional candidate, Republican in District 7. Thank you, sir. All right. We'll take a break right here. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive.
The new Regional Transportation Authority Plan is delivering long-term upgrades to transportation infrastructure across our region. Everything from roadway improvements to expanded transit and new bicycle and pedestrian connections. These projects are designed to keep you moving, connected, and support our community. Visit rtamobility.com for updates on what's happening near you. That's rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday at noon on September the 4th, our Friday Focus interview features Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, plus Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice, always live Fridays at noon at buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for our complete show archive. It's all Tom Jones all the time on the Buckmaster Show. At least this Friday edition, it's time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start planning now for an enchanting getaway in the land of enchantment. Silver City in Grant County, an easy 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. Here's the best part. It's cooler, much cooler. Their elevation over there, close to 6,000 feet. So do the numbers. It's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler. More at visit silvercity.org. Leslie Lois is here from 101.7 The Drive. Hey, Leslie, what's going on this weekend?
Hi, there's still some good stuff coming at the end of summer. You could chill at the Chule tonight and tomorrow night. I love to do this. It's a general admission. It's just $5 to get in. And on Saturday nights, they actually partner with the Children's Museum of Oro Valley to provide family-friendly nature play. So that's kind of fun to do. So that's from 6 to 9 tonight and tomorrow.
And that's where?
At Tejano Chule.
Oh,
yeah,
Tejano
beautiful
Chule.
Place. Yes,
very good.
And another summer market is happening tonight at the MSA Annex downtown. They have over 80 local vendors there.
Wow, they've been very. This has proven to be a big hit. This
it really
summer
has, and actually, it's good to go now because holiday shopping get some really cool, unique gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And but tomorrow night is the last cool summer nights of the summer, wrapping up. I went there last weekend. We had so much fun. Mm-hmm. It's from 6 to 10. And we brought a flashlight and we're walking around in the dark and stuff.
Any street food out there?
They just have their cafes and stuff they have. Okay. Yeah, but you can get, I had one of their drinks. It was awesome. We had a lot of fun with that. If you're a fan of the 80s, I Love the 80s is happening at the Fox Theater tomorrow. Flock of Seagulls, Bow Wow Wow, and Annabelle Lewin is going to be there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And if you are interested in doing some yoga, I love that they're doing this. The Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures is doing yoga at the museum tomorrow, 4:15 to 5:15. It's between $5 and $10. Mm. No matter what level of yoga, they do an hour of yoga, and then you can stay afterwards and enjoy the museum. Absolutely.
So even beginners could come out and do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got about, we have over a minute, right?
Oh.
Yeah, we... least 45 seconds anyway. So the markets are doing well.
Yes. Yeah, there's a few more of those coming. I know Old Tucson will have another one, at least two maybe in September to look out for. Oh, and if you're, I'm going to be out tomorrow.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be out at Spirit's Child, southeast corner of Orange Grove and Thornydale.
They've been a terrific partner for the drive.
They have, yeah. And I love them over there, locally owned, women owned. 11 to 1, we're going to be out there. It's their end of summer clearance sale, 15% off.
Well, listen for your reports, Leslie.
Perfect.
Lois. Thanks very much. The Buckmaster Show. A presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, Brendan, on the other side of the glass. Hope everybody has a great weekend.